we've been talking on this show for months and months and months now, ever since March of last year, a year literally, about this incredible spacecraft called Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter, which is a spacecraft loaded for bear. It's got literally a world-class telescope on board, over a 20-inch size telescope, aimed looking down at Mars from an orbit that takes it as close as 180 miles. And it's been taking superb pictures of all kinds of regions. And you and I have discussed the idea that we had to get this audience in campaign mode. And if NASA didn't do it on their own, we had to basically create the context for Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter to take pictures of Cydonia, in particular the most interesting and celebrated artifact on Mars, i.e. the face on Mars. Well, last night, as you were doing your show, suddenly, with no fanfare, no announcement, no warning, no nothing, across my electronic desk comes the first MRO high-res image of the face on Mars, with details as small as a few inches visible in the 300 megabyte high-res version. And I have spent the last 24 hours, literally 24 hours, actually more like 26, looking at this thing, trying to figure out where do I begin. So what we have done tonight is we have put up on the Enterprise website a direct link at the top of the EnterpriseMission.com page to the high-rise MRO website in Arizona, at the University of Arizona. This is the official high-rise camera site.
Right.
Everybody can go to Enterprise, click on the box at the top, download this image. If you're lucky enough to have a computer that can handle 300 megabytes, good luck. If you're not, there's a browser-size image there, which is like 2,000 or 3,000 lines, you know, vertical and horizontal. And just take a look at what I sent George in the browser version. And then tomorrow, during the day, I'm producing a paper which will have some very high-resolution close-ups of specific regions on this structure. And I'm telling you folks, before you go to the computer tomorrow, you're going to want to get extra socks, because I'm going to knock your socks off of what you're going to see.
And I've got to tell you, Richard, you know, I've been looking at this image two ways. The one way that came in on the attachment you sent me,
yep.
And then I turned it around, and I got to tell you, it looks like another face, but a different kind.
Yes.
It's weird.
Yes. Kinsia, who's our art director, official art director of the Enterprise mission, and I have been discussing, since I think 2001, we did a piece together where we assessed the artistic background of the face on Mars. In other words, if you assume the idea that this is an artifact left by a genuine ET civilization, and you know, George, what my prejudice now is, that it's us.
Yes.
It's our great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmothers.
We are who they are.
We are who they are. And if you look at this thing in that context, and we'll get into some ancillary information in a minute, while that model really tonight has won. Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, you know, dogs and cats, we have won. The fighting is over. This is unquestionably an artifact. And I'm going to demonstrate that in the remaining 20 minutes I have before George opens his secret door for the next guest. But if this is a work of art, George, then it's been our idea for some time that it was a work of art designed, as all works of art, to communicate something and maybe more than one thing simultaneously. I mean, the best art works on many different levels. So back in 2001, when Dr. Michael Malin, who was in charge of the camera on the previous Mars mission, Mars Global Surveyor, took this, you know, full-face image, but we finally got him to take in the spring of 2001, we saw that if you flipped it upside down, you could actually see what looked to be, and this is going to sound so corny coming from me, the image of a gray, the image of the classic, almost cliched alien. I hear you laughing, George. And
well, because you may be right.
Again, in the model that we're looking at real science and we're pursuing real evidence and real clues, if the current mythology, if the current discussions that you have with, you know, people like Jim, you know, a few minutes ago, or with people that you had last night, is real, and this is part of our phenomenology. This is part of our environment. These things are actually going on. People are being kidnapped out of their beds and out of their cars by somebody for purposes unknown, and they're all reporting the same kind of figure. Isn't it remarkable that completely separately, when you look at this work of art on Mars, it, if you turn it upside down, it appears to embody another version of that iconic image that was made so famous initially, actually, by Whitley Strieber's work back in the 80s. And as you said last night before that, this seems to be the folks that Betty and Barney Hill, who I had the privilege of actually spending a whole evening with and interviewing way back in the 60s, the mid-60s, 1965, that they also saw in the wilds of New Hampshire, coming back from that vacation on that very lonely New Hampshire road. So there is there's the beginning of a potential convergence here between the area of expertise that I've been looking at, which is archaeology on another world, and the standard phenomenology of the so-called UFO community and what they have been trying to grapple with varying degrees of success for the last, 60 years since Roswell?